Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
All right, so on Sunday we started talking about something so beautiful, God's agenda. God's agenda. And very interestingly, I want us to look at Matthew you know, I really thank God for technology. A lot of things are easy. Amen? The goal of technology is to make life very easy. As I just type a little thing to just get a scripture, they just reminded me, as if they were in my heart. Then I thought about recurrent neural networks. It is under AI. You know? And I'm proud to say I'm a computer scientist. Hallelujah to Jesus. But I'm a pastor. Do you understand? And if you are not a computer scientist, Kai, I don't know if you are a scientist indeed. Amen? Who? So pay close attention. I want to use another rendition rather for this part of scripture. Let's see Matthew 13 from verse 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Next part of scripture. He receives with what? Joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulations... I think I should do a topic to really explain this parable of the seed and sower. Maybe I should fix it within the teaching on Sunday. What do you think? To be nice, right? Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. Endures only for a while. Only for a while. Only for a while. Why? Because of the state of his heart, not the state of the seed. For when tribulation or persecutions arises, why do they arise? Let's read together. Because of the word. Why did the tribulation and the persecutions arise? Because of the word that had been sown. So the moment he got the word, he got excited, isn't it? He was excited. I mean, this is true. Have you seen people who, you know, were so excited with the things of God, with the word of God, you know, with Christianity, with ministry, and after a while it seems as if their fire is off or their fire is gone? I'm not trying to condemn. Have you seen people like that before? You just observe they are quite cold. Officer, you are back. You came to visit. Okay. People don't like Makodiba. It's dry ground. You have joined them to be saying dry ground. Okay. Should I pray that he should post you to Makodi? I'm surprised. I will not pray that one. For when tribulations or persecutions arises because of what? The word. Immediately he stumbles. Amen. Now the point I want you to get here is that the tribulations and challenges and persecutions all arose because of the word of God. Are you here? They all what? arose because of the word. I mean, some sort of they've seen the potential of that individual that has interfaced with the word of God. They are seeing the potential of that individual. I mean, you're hearing the word of God, Satan is seeing how much of a glory will become to your generation, and he's scared. And what will he do afterwards? He will sense what? Tribulation. I mean, you're excited. During the word, you shout, Lord, I'll do it. I'll get it done. I'll go to any nation you send me. Etc. And Satan hears you. Hallelujah. And it brings tribulations. Now, you actually were supposed to walk in the reality of what you are saying, because it's more like you have the intention, but some sort of the capacity is not in place. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's more like the fulfillment of what Paul meant in Romans 10 when he said they have a desire for God, but not according to what? Knowledge. So you want to do what the word of God says, but you are, you know, the state of your mind will not help allow that to become a reality, because the Bible said the word fell on what? Stony grounds. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Some sort of there are things that should have been dealt with in your life that were not dealt with. That is why when the word came, you were excited, and after a while, Satan brought something on the strength of what has been in your life or in your heart, and that's why you were not able to stand too long. I'll give you an idea. If you are in a relationship most times and you become very dedicated, especially in our church, one of the things we advise you is that now that you are a true Christian, because it is possible that you are a shallow Christian. Are we together? The reason we are sure that you are a true Christian is because when you come to our church, we don't know of other churches, and I believe a lot of churches do same. We have it as a mandate to disciple you. We don't just allow you to come to church. The Bible says, go into the world and make what? Disciples. We are not just interested that you are sitting here. And it is not the proof of a successful ministry. The proof that we are successful as a ministry is that we are sure of everybody's work with Jesus, because we as the leaders must give account for your souls. Are we together? So we want to be sure of everybody's work with God. So it's not more like we're trying to follow you into your life to know everything you are doing. No. Sometimes Satan deceives you to think that that's what we're looking for. But the question is, how much will we be paid? That should just help your mind. We will not be paid anything. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? For that job you think we're unnecessarily doing. Okay, so we are actually aware that God has told us as leaders that you are our responsibility. We are supposed to take full responsibility over your life. We are supposed to make sure that you are perfected as a saint. The Bible speaks about the perfecting of the saints, verse 12 of Ephesians 4. Can you remember? And that is why as pastors, as leaders, you know, God, by the Holy Spirit, helps us to create system through the leadership, so making sure that everybody gets perfected. So in church, we have a lot of ways we disciple people. We don't need to call it discipleship class necessarily. In our church, we believe when you come to church, we will try to make sure you have a department, because we believe that everybody that becomes a Christian should want to serve God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And you can't serve God by when you only come to church on Sundays without doing anything. Let me even go even deeper. You don't just serve God with your money. That's not serving God. All right? Because some people think, as long as I'm coming to church and I'm just giving to the church without necessarily doing anything, I am serving God properly. It's wrong. The Bible mandates that every believer should do the work of the ministry. Not some Christians. What? All Christians. Not what? Some Christians. What? All Christians. Are you all listening to me? So you see, that is why we make sure that when you come to church, even though you are not telling us I want to be in a department, we are suggesting that you should be in a department. Some of you would have noticed that with us, we talk to you and talk to you till you got into a department. And while you are in that department, the first thing we take you through, and that's why you cannot break the systems. Systems cannot be broken, else you will regret it, because systems do not what? Forgive. Alright? If you want to make rice and there are some set of processes that rice has to... I said make rice. If you want to... Make is not necessarily bad. But if you want to arrange rice so that it is proper for consumption, it has to go through some set process rice. It has to go through some what? Set of processes. Isn't it? if it misses one, you are not sure, and you are 100% sure that the rice will not go down well through your mouth to your stomach. Isn't it? Yes. So if it misses one part of it, let's say you did everything, but at the end you did not blow it, because there's something ladies do with tray like this. What do they call that? Huh? Do they do that for rice? Okay. So they do like that. Okay. If not rice, they do it for a lot of things. You see, our mothers do. I don't know if these Gen Z ladies can actually do that. These are our recent wives. But those days, our mothers, they used to carry tray. You even know that thing? I don't think they know. They'll do like this and blow. Somebody like me, I think I will have an idea in that thing. Just I don't know whether it's working or not, but I know that I can do that thing my mother used to do. Amen? I bet you most of these ladies don't know what I'm talking about. It's not a joke. Eh? You know, I don't miss any opportunity to fire Gen Z ladies. I don't miss it at all. I think last Sunday when I was firing Gen Z ladies, somebody came and said, "Sir, you set my mind." And I was so excited, my girlfriend heard you. I was like, "Oh my God. See, Pastor, I am really happy. This is the best service of my life." I said, "Oh, that's beautiful." You know, he wants to get married to her. He was so happy that I just helped him to talk everything he's saying small. I said, "That's good." Yes. So I was inspired to continue in that direction. I didn't know I was speaking for somebody. All right. So if you miss any of the process, what will happen? The rice will not go through your mouth and work in your system for you properly. It may probably work against your system or work against you and not for you. You may start purging and etc. Isn't it? Yes. So that's it. You cannot come to church and decide how you should be pastored. Else you will become who you think you are and not what God wants you to become. Alright? If you have a way that your teacher should teach you anatomy, imagine your teacher is teaching you anatomy and you are suggesting to the teacher that you don't think the large intestine is that large. The way the teacher is suggesting that the, or saying, not even suggesting, they are very sure, the centimeter. I said, "No, I don't think my own. I've never felt it like that. Have you ever scanned it?" "No. But I just think my own is different. My case is different." The teacher would think something is wrong with you. Isn't it? Huh? And that's why logically most of you that have tried to fight your teachers or show your teachers you know more, you end up crying over the course. Once you become quiet in Nigeria, if you show your teacher you know more, you carry over. I bet I'm lying. You may know better than your teacher, but you pretend the teacher knows better so that you can pass. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So you see, you come to church, you don't teach the church how to pastor you. It's called the spirit of pride. You know, it is Satan that is the root of that realm. Alright? If you exalted yourself beyond measure, you are now pompous. Alright? And you don't want things to be done the way it's supposed to be done anymore. You want it to be done your way, some sort of. And sometimes you program some kind of actions that will call for your dismissal. And unfortunately, sometimes, a lot of times, you may get dismissed from the church. And of course, that's what we are looking for. And of course, when you go out there, there are a lot of people like you. Rebels are more plentier than saints. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Misery like companions, you find a lot of people like you. It's not easy to walk God's path. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So people that walk God's path are not many. You always find a lot of foolish people like yourself, if you are in that shoe. And they will console you that what you are doing is truly true. Because they are very plenty. You find them everywhere. Like MTN, anywhere you go. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? One time I was talking with my colleague. I saw somebody said something against fatherhood. And I saw people commenting, "Yes, sir." The man said, "The reason why I don't..." They said, they asked the man of God, they said, "Do you have..." And I don't have any problem against that, against him. But of course, that was wrong. Discard the prophecy, not the prophet. They said, "Do you have a problem against spiritual fatherhood?" They said, do you have a spiritual father? And he said, well, it was a yes and no answer. To me, that's what I think, you know, the answer should be. And he said, well, I don't really see spiritual fatherhood in Nigeria, blah, blah, blah. Now, that's not the question. But he went ahead and answered his answer. And some sort of, he said, he grew in a place where it's not easy to really call somebody your spiritual father. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If you go in a place like the Orthodox settings, you will hardly can find, you will be kind of struggling on who to call because they change the pastors. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? And that's fine. But secondly, he said, I think spiritual fatherhood has become a tool for manipulation. I truly feel, even in heaven, if I sit with God, I will say it. I felt like that was unnecessary. That was not an answer. Are we together? And when he said that, you know, I messaged somebody. He's popular. He's in Abuja. And I'm quite close. We have met before. And I saw a video and I messaged him personally. I said, this video you made was very unnecessary. You know, when you make a video, a lot of times you think you are speaking by the Spirit. You may be speaking by emotion sometimes. You know, sometimes it is, you are speaking from, you can be emotionally, you can be biased. Emotions can cause you to be biased sometimes. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Are you people here tonight? Yeah, you can be biased. Truly, you can. And you may not realize it. You just need somebody outside the bus to tell you that you are acting very wrong. Like one time I saw a video of two people having an interview. And I was wondering if heaven orchestrated the interview. Because the goal of the interview was for the person to prove why he left his spiritual father. And I find that to be childish. You had an interview to prove to the world why you left your spiritual father. And the interviewer was asking him the direct question, why did you leave your spiritual father? And after that interview, I thought it was a show. The show never continued, meaning it was programmed. It was unnecessary. And you began to see the problems in the church and people are conspiring against you. There is no church where you meet perfect people. You know, shallow people, when they look at that statement, they'll be like, well, me too, they are talking against me in my church. If you look at them, you'll be wondering, who is talking against you? Because they naturally like problem. They are anticipating problem. I mean, somebody sitting here is thinking somebody is against, people are against him in this church or her. Somebody sitting in this congregation. It will shock you. Sir, they are against me in GCMI. They say I'm the finest. I'm trying to quote somebody that said this thing in this assembly. We are not yet 2,000 or 3,000. In fact, that time we're lesser than now. And I was counseling, I was trying to judge a case. You know when you are trying to judge something that you just say, oh, people should just go, because you don't even know where to start it again. It's more like it's childish. So I told the young man who is a leader, because there are some kind of things you will not find me inside. Two leaders are fighting themselves. Not fight, you know, not physical fight, but they are beefing themselves. Why are they beefing themselves? Their girlfriends are not happy with themselves. So I nearly cried in the office. So when they were giving me, I think Pastor Ed was the one giving me the idea, because I want to know cases sometimes before I start talking. I don't want to trick myself that I'll sit with angels and the Holy Ghost is in me. And I'm seated, I say, okay, start the matter. And I say, sir, and my girlfriend, I'm like, God, how did we make this mistake to sit here and look at these human beings? They are not worthy of this kind of counsel. Stand up and leave this place. So when I had the idea that was it, and that the two girlfriends wanted to see me, I said, me? Girls want to see me. Not like girls are bad people. Do you understand? These people are leaders, they are fortified. And their girlfriend, who I don't even know very well, that they say they love, want to come and see me. Small, small girls. With small, small one cheekily problem. Small children problem. I will lose my space in heaven if I judge that case. So I called. I said you should call the two men that are involved. The two shameless men. They came to my office. I said, okay, say your problems. So when I'm dating inside this and that, his own girlfriend did not, I said, oh my God. So the girlfriend is not greeting me again because he told her. I said, hey, God. And I asked them, how did we get here? I said, how old are you? I did not go spiritual first. I said, how old are you? He called this. I said, you can remember old children. Those girls are probably 19, 20, 21. I said, how many years have you known yourself? They said 3, 4, 5, 6, you know. Many years. I said, small children of yesterday that their brain maybe have not fully developed. Are the ones making two of you who are bonded by the spirit. And a lot of things, you have relationship for many years. It will end. Because somebody blow whistle in your ear. I don't like that brother again. I don't like your friend again. Honey, fish, your friend is misbehaving. I said, that's all. I said to them, go out from this office and make sure I never hear this rubbish again. Are you still beefing each other? They said, no. They now hug themselves and we're laughing that they don't even know why this problem started in the first place. I said, go and love yourselves. Now that's, I did not use my two eyes to see the ladies, but the problem was solved. Because God puts the responsibility for a home to be okay through the man. It is still my principle to today that if you are in a relationship with a lady and I see the lady misbehaving, I will close that relationship. As long as the lady is not coming to church, she's not serious with God, she doesn't greet people well, you will leave that relationship. It's just a matter of time. I'll watch you closely. When I see that you don't know what you are doing, you'll leave. Because if she's not behaving well, you too, you'll not behave well at the end. Because you don't have authority over her. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. You know, one time I was trying to deal with the case and I was making sure everybody has something doing. So I said, all guys and ladies, before even this stepped in, make sure you are doing something business-wise. It was a law, especially for the leaders. So one time during the leaders' meeting, and I was asking everybody, what are you doing? Tell me what are you doing? What are you selling? So they were all telling me. And it got to this particular lady. So I said, what are you doing? She said, nothing, sir. I got offended a little bit, but I did not show it. I said, why? She said, because, sir, I've not really bought some machines. So I now said, why are you not selling Zobo or Bonds? She now said, sir, I can't do that. I said, stand up. I think I pursued her from the meeting. I said, stand up and leave here. And never call me again. The fiancé, after the service, rushed to me to plead that she would never do that again, blah, 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 blah. I said, she's suspended. And you will not marry her. Except I'm not your father in the faith. Now, this one is not, you know, I got offended because he's paying the school fees of the lady. He's paying the house rent of the lady. He's got the latest phone for the lady that she was in that time. But she cannot sell bonds and Zubu. And she does not have anybody to give her money. And you don't have a job. So I said, this one cannot mother people in this ministry. Because probably you'll become a pastor soon and I'll send you somewhere. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? So I said, she cannot. Until I think they came back and pleaded and she was ready to start selling the bones and Zobo or something. Then I reconsidered. I said, even though you see any business, you will start. You see these bones and Zobo, you must sell it. These bonds and Zobo, you must become one of the major distributors. That thing that you don't like, one would take you by the hand and lead you. You must do it. It will help your soul. Hallelujah to Jesus. So, you know, back to what I was saying, when he declared the problem, the wrong state of what, the wrong side of spiritual fatherhood, there's always a wrong side to something. Now, like this, that we are seated and hearing the word of God. Some people don't sit to hear the word of God in church. They are doing other things. They are probably raising funds in church for unnecessary things. I've gone to somewhere they call church and they were raising funds wrongly with scriptures. I've seen it before. All right? After I left there, I didn't say I'm never going back to any church again. No. It was a wrong thing. Does it mean churches are wrong? No. So it is with spiritual fatherhood. You can have somebody that probably manipulates you. Does it mean spiritual fathers are supposed to manipulate you? No. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But what I'm trying to hit is that there were people in the comment section. Now, that's what Satan does. He looks for something you are saying wrongly, and he uses it to destroy probably a generation. You may not see the effect of what you are doing. The Bible speaks about the yeast of the Pharisees. People don't see fire a lot of times. They don't consider, they don't see, you know, they don't think very, very deep a lot of times. They don't speak so shallow. And if you look at the comment section, you can see the power of that little small session, what it is doing. You see somebody who looks so lousy saying, me too, that's why I left. Me too, that was why I left. In fact, that's why I left my former church. And you are wondering, is it that God is just raising false prophets everywhere and people that are leaving their churches? A lot of them there they have personal problems with themselves. Are you listening to me tonight? Are you guys here tonight? They have personal problems with themselves. And I was praying that sister because I know the effect of what that words will do. The Bible speaks about the yeast of the Pharisees. A small lie is the reason why Israel is still subjected today. Do you know on Palm Sunday, Israelites blocked Christians from celebrating in Israel? They did. Meaning Israelites are saying they are not Christians, but they believe in Yahweh. They don't believe in Jesus. They believe in Yahweh. What a confusion. Are you seeing that? I mean, we are thinking, when we think about Israel, we should be in our hearts. You know, before I knew some of these things, my imagination about Israel is that if you go there, you probably will just see Jesus coincidentally. You may be caught up in a vision, and as you are just walking, Jesus will just pass and say, hey, this is where I was. This is where I was. This is where I am. And that's what I was thinking about Israel. And so you see people going to fetch their sand, fetching their stones. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But imagine there was a lie years ago. One of the high priests, so you know what it means to be a high priest? Only used to enter the holies of holies. He gave one of the soldiers money. What would make a high priest do that kind of thing? Religiosity is very demonic. Satan is at the center of religiosity. I tell you the truth. The Bible says, it said, how did he put it in the book of 2 Corinthians 18? And 3, I mean. It says, if the ministry of condemnation was glorious, say the ministry of the righteous excels in glory. Now, look at it. It now says something at the end. It said, until today, wherever Moses is preached, he said, a veil, what? He didn't say today the matter has changed. Look at me carefully. He said, until this day, the same effect in the days of Moses, the same effect today. At the reading of the law, he said, a veil, what? Covers their face. Hallelujah. You know, like I commented I think somebody loved my comment somewhere. I never knew somebody would see that comment. I saw a comment from an Islamic cleric or something saying they need to arrest this guy that's been moving around, alleged something. And he was trying to explain so intelligently to him. He was intelligently explaining. So I was so aback. I was so surprised. When I read everything, I was so surprised. I said, your words are beautiful. All right? But if we join the words together, they make you look like the greatest idiot that's ever hit the earth. Now, you know the meaning of phantom. You know the meaning of this. You know the meaning of... But if you join all the words, it makes you makes me think, imagine if you really went to school. So I told him, your entire schooling till you master degree holder or PhD if you have is a waste. And it's a waste just because you are wearing the word veil of religion. So I said at the end, you are simply a religious bigot. Now, what is making this guy with all the intelligence that it seems like he had to be speaking so bitter and wrongly and stupid like that? Because of what? A religious veil. All of you, some of you have some Muslim friends on your status. Did you see anybody post about yours? You will not. You will never see them say that. It's a religious veil. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's a religious veil. That's why God raised people like Trump. It's Trump that fits them. If it was Trump that is our president, they would have thrown bomb in that place that they ran into. I know, I was talking to one of my friends this afternoon, and I said to him, it's not like we grew up in places that people's head was correct to. I said, if they started this thing, if they want to leave some Christian brother, those semi-Christians, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Were you a semi-Christian before? Like you were almost going to fall into the real Christendom, but you were not really a Christian. You are quite a Christian, sorry. But this is your Christian, you can switch to the other side at any time and still come back to become. How many of you have been there before? You can just keep the Christian for 5 minutes and carry it back and away. I said, if they leave some people, these guys are not, you know, they are nothing. All this yambanga they are doing. I said, but the love of God constrains us. It constrains us. I'm not saying it should constrain you from bulleting somebody's head if it comes to kill you. Do you understand? But going to revenge. Like it constrains you. You are holding a gun now. See how the love of God constrains you. Somebody is coming to kill you. Blue. The love of God constrains me. You love this truth? Alright, so let me say the one you love. You are holding a machete and they want to kill you and your baby. Just say the love of God constrains me. Kill me. I'm not worthy to live. When you get to heaven, you receive a slap from Jesus. See, if Jesus is dead, Jesus has died. You get what I'm trying to say? I wanted to say something, but it just sounds so contradictory. Jesus' death is the one that is supposed to save them, not your death. Let me put it the way it will be nice. He did not die for you to die. He died for you to live. Are you listening to me? There's some kind of useless beliefs people have today. Are you listening to me? Martyrdom is not the end of every Christian. Listen, people like Peter will be disappointed if we allow ourselves to be martyred if we can prevent it. Okay, why do you think Paul ran from a upstairs with basket? He would have waited and died. He said he fought with the beast in the city of Ephesus. Can you remember about scripture? Paul fought before he finally died. He didn't just sit down and say, death, come and meet me. I'm here. Thank you, death. He had a lot to do on the earth. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So, of course, we are not buying the fact that you should go back and say you want to go and kill people when they try to attack you. But as much as you can defend yourself, what do? Defend yourself. I always say it. If I sit in my house with my wife and my children, I have children, and you come and knock and that you want to kill me, I will plug off your head to the glory of God. To the glory of God. And I'll not put it on social media. I'll take you somewhere and dump you and come back and pray in tongues. I will still feel the presence, the manifest presence of God. If you come with a sick person after just plugging somebody's head, the person will recover immediately. You know, some of you don't know that it is this God that sends people. He will tell their David, oh yeah, go now, finish them. It was this God. And when they will come back, they will come and offer sacrifice of praise. You think it didn't happen in the Bible? You know why we don't relate so much with Old Testament scriptures? Because we are not fighting wars today. If we're in the generation of David, you understand those powerful scriptures very well. But when it seems like an opportunity of war is coming, I did not say start fighting. Some of you are fighters. I didn't say start fighting. I'm saying nobody should come and kill you when you have the ability to defend yourself. Be wise. They will tell you all forms of rubbish. But when the people die, do they bring them to life? They'll just come and promise you that we'll take care of it and the rest. And nothing will still happen. So you got to be prepared. Are you listening to me tonight? Very important. Alright? So, I was talking about Israel. Look at what is happening today. Just one lie. A high priest. He lied. He said, tell them that his body was stolen. That's the only thing they said that made Israel today. His body was what? Stolen. One lie. Some people say, just forget about that doctrine. It doesn't really count. Christianity is not all about doctrinal difference. It's just about evangelism. What do you use to evangelize? It's doctrine. If the doctrine is wrong, the people you are evangelizing to probably don't have a future in God. They will not be able to walk with Him for a long time. Like what we just read, they may be excited at a moment. In a moment, after a while, they'll leave the faith because of what? Persecutions and probably what? Trials. What will make sure that you stand in the faith for a long time? Not just a desire to stand in the faith. Lord, I want to walk with you. Lord, I want revival. It is nice, but it is not enough. The Bible said true desire should not just keep you, you know, should not just put you on the line, you know, the relay, how do they call it now? The field of relay field. What will I call it? The track. Yes, the track. A true desire should not just put you on the track and tell you to start running. What if you are running aimlessly? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Say, I want to win. I want to win. And you are wearing jeans. Do you win with jeans? If you desire mastery yet not crown, how do you strive? Lawfully, I know some of you are saying you win with jeans. You win. You only win your shadow or yourself. You can't win anybody wearing a short in a relay race. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They have the liberty to run better than you. In fact, that's why even the days of Paul, he will speak about the belt of truth. You know why there was a belt of truth? Because what they used to wear, they call it a regalia. It's like a gown. And if you don't tie the middle with the belt of truth, you can't run freely. Because when you are rolling it in, ladies will understand, those that wear gown. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain? But if you tie the middle, you have some liberty. That's why in speaking about the whole armor of salvation, he didn't stop at, you know, just anything. He made sure he explained the belt of truth. He mentioned the belt of truth and explained it. He said, guard yourself. He said, tie yourself with what? The belt of truth. The belt of truth. And I remember I saw a scripture in the book of Psalms that David said, the word of God is my buckler. In other words, the word of God gives you confidence. So you're wearing that gown and suddenly you put that belt, you have the confidence to run better than somebody not putting that belt. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? So what am I trying to say? You are on the track, but not with the jeans. Desire should not just make you run a relay race with just jeans. If you desire mastery, yet not crown, you strive what? Lawfully. So, see, there's a desire there, then there's striving for love, for mastery. You striving lawfully. You desire mastery. If you found that you are not crowned, don't keep on desiring. Go and strive what? Lawfully. Do it the right way. So if you truly want to live for God, you must seek doctrine. The right doctrine. It is the right doctrine that will get you capacitated to becoming a man that can live for God and for eternity. Remember, the Bible speaks about the word of God that it can last eternal. So if you truly have the word of God on your inside, you can last what? Eternal in God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But if what you have are mere assumptions of God, you can stay for a while in Christianity and fade away with time. You will get tired and weary with time. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And that's why Luke 6, the Bible speaks about the wise builder who digs the ground to build his house where? On a rock. And when the wind will beat it vehemently and the floods of life whatsoever, what will happen? It will not sink because it was founded where? On the rock. Why will it not sink? Because it has a desire not to sink. Why will it not sink? It was founded on the rock. But the one that builds his house on sinking sand, what happened? After a few, it will be standing, though, right? He'll finish everything. But after a few moments and few trials and tribulation, what will happen? It will sink to the ground. And that's why we have one of these hymns. On Christ, a solid rock, we what? All other grounds are what? So doctrine matters. In fact, doctrine is everything in Christianity. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The input of your life should be doctrine. It determines the output of your life. What you put on your inside will determine the output of your life. In 3 John 3, the Bible said, no man prospers beyond the prosperity of his soul. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as you can't prosper beyond the prosperity of your soul. That's why doctrine is very important. So you love the Lord, yeah. Everybody that says in this church one of those days, he says, I want to receive Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, was not lying. You know, one of those days I called one of the leaders and I was very angry with the leader in my office. I said, there was a guy I was preaching. I don't know if some of you noticed that guy or you remember that meeting. I was teaching and I wanted to leave the stage after I was done. And he rushed me and told me he wants to receive Jesus. I forgot to make the altar call. And sometimes I don't necessarily forget. I said they should join them in the with the counselors. The first timers most times are the ones that have not received Jesus, because from my observation, most of the people I pastor are won't being discipled already. But I did not really notice that guy. So while I was leaving, he rushed me here and told me he wants to be born again and was crying. You can tell how much the Holy Spirit has influenced his heart at that moment. I hear people come trying to say, you are going to sit down, somebody come and meet you, and he's crying that he wants to be born again. He wants to receive you. I had to lead him to Christ before people were even going outside, because I had already closed the service. I had to lead him to Christ, take him to my office, and he began to tell me the story that he could not help it while I was teaching. He wanted to stand up and come and meet me, that he wants to receive Jesus. He was waiting for the opportunity, but I did not say it. And after a while, we couldn't find the brother in church. Let's say 2 months. And I called the HOD. I said, are you sick? That somebody who loved the Lord this much in a moment, are you getting what I'm trying to say? Is now not in the church. I said, couldn't you find a way to sustain whatever God has said in his heart? And I said, that's not even your duty. The next thing to do after that event is to, I don't waste time. When people receive Jesus, get them baptized in the Holy Ghost. Don't say time has gone. You are trying Satan. You give him 24 hours. He said, when you come back tomorrow, we'll baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Are you trying Satan? The Bible says he walks in the sons of disobedience. How sure are you that if that person goes back home, Satan will not convince them that they should not go back to that church again? Are you doubting what you are doing here? Are you doubting the power of the Holy Ghost? You think it's a small thing when somebody gets filled with the Holy Ghost? It's a game changer. Tarry in Jerusalem until you have been filled with power from on high. Because at that point, they were incapacitated. You can tell somebody that, don't worry, on Tuesday I will get you baptized in the Holy Ghost. Satan will get that guy. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? The moment somebody says, I received Jesus. Listen, I used to tell my friends those days, we even have this perspective. Even if it's Market Square, we go to where people are not plenty, alliance. I remember a story of a young man in Egypt from Christ Embassy. He went there and he observed there was no Pentecostal church around on a Sunday. And he was surprised. The next Sunday, he came with some people, started talking about Jesus, and they started singing and praying. They're just praying and praying. And suddenly he laid hands on them, they became filled with the Holy Ghost, and a revival broke out. People were talking about tongues. People were praying in one kind of language, blah, blah, blah. And they began to call their friends to come. That is how his course mates, you know, it extended to the city. People were gathering till the government had to give them permission to start a church. They couldn't stop the movement. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That's the kind of person we call a soldier of Jesus. He couldn't bear it. I mean, there is no church in this place. He said, no, they only have Orthodox church. He said, no. I can't take that. And he began to pray with some friends. And before you know it, he became a revival. The move of God was known everywhere in the city. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You don't joke with opportunities like that. Some sort of, you know, sometimes you see us, we just sit somewhere and begin to teach the word of God. I was eating somewhere and the Holy Spirit told me to start a conversation with a guy. And it's not my character. I can't just start a conversation. Not about Jesus, about politics. So he said I should tell the guy about the incident that started in Jos. And I told him, I used to know that place years ago as a student. So when I was passing, I remember the fish I used to eat there. So I decided that I was going to eat the fish. I would not let my wife know. The only problem was that I couldn't finish the fish, so I brought the remaining to give the dog, and she eventually knew. You know, I'm not permitted to eat outside. That's one of my laws. I am only permitted to eat within. Hallelujah to Jesus. So, but that day, you see that it worked for good. Because if I had obeyed that law, I would have not obeyed the law of the Spirit. I would have not fulfilled the desire of God. So, it was prophetic. What if I did not eat? Think about it. That soul would be lost. So I said, my man, did you hear what happened in Jaws? Oh, and the guy is a talker. He said, I beg this useless government. You see, as he just owned him, he just continued like that. He couldn't stop. I was almost finishing my food and he was gisting me. So when I found out that now I can talk small, I said, what if everything you are saying is wrong? Now, he left politics. He started talking about faith. He said, my father, you know, is a good judge. So you want to say my father is in hell? I did not answer him. But my father is a very good man. The only problem is that my father did not go to church. I still did not answer him. What of our grandfathers that were good people, but they were worshiping juju? Where are they now? I did not answer him. He asked a lot of questions. Oh, I did not answer anything. He said, I beg, religion is just in the heart. Anything you believe will work for you. This heaven and hell thing is just rubbish. It does not exist. I figured out he was an atheist. I now knew why God. You know, I don't know why God always wants me to meet atheists. Sometimes I used to feel like one of the major reasons I'm a pastor is to talk to atheists. I've met a lot of atheists. And I tell you the truth, right now I don't take atheists serious. Because I'm disappointed at how they just changed immediately. After a few conversations, I thought an atheist is a strong-hearted somebody. Not when you truly properly present Jesus. I tell you the truth. You know, one of the first times I was disappointed in an atheist was one who was my 2 years senior. He just had last year in computer science. But he's so much like me as a person. So we always used to talk and we always meet in the library. And upstairs, the other side for computer scientists. I think that side is especially for us. If you go there, you see a lot of us there. And while we're talking, he said to me, Pastor Simon, why have you not spoken to me? I said, about what? He said, have you not heard I'm an atheist? Like he's trying to tell me that he's an atheist. Now everybody knows I'm an atheist in this department. I'm just surprised that you know, but I said, are you sure I've heard? He said, I know you know. He said, but you are just being nice. Is it that you are looking for the right time? I'm giving you an opportunity now. And I laughed. So I said to him, why do you want me to talk to you as an atheist? Shame you already know you believe that there is no God. Why do I need to convince you that there is God? Hold your belief. He said, no. I said, no what? He said, well, just in a pause. He said, well, what do you think? Is there God? I said, hey, God. I said, why will an atheist be asking me whether there is God? I thought you have proven, you have seen all the theories that prove there is no God. So be bold about your belief. I'll tell you, I can be very sarcastic. I'm funny. And sometimes people think I'm very unserious. Because I don't look like a good theologian when I'm like that. Or a born again theologian. Let me put it like that. Because I just want to enjoy myself. If you go to hell, I'll go to heaven. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But I still have a desire for these people. I'm not trying to make, you know, the picture I'm trying to paint is that I'm not going to kill myself for it because the Holy Spirit wants them changed more than me. I don't know how you people are getting what I'm trying to say. So it's not about my sweats. Some people think that to change the world, right? Some people think that to change the world, you need to pray some kind of sweaty prayers. You know, I used to hear stories that people say, Lord, give me Nigeria or I die. Why? Why would you say such a thing? Like, I mean, you want to seem more serious than God? Sometimes I used to wonder if these things make God angry. Because Jesus died for the world. God died for the world. You are not telling him, give me your eye. That you think you are there to do something better. Are you trying to drag death with Jesus? Or are you trying to drag better deaths with Jesus? How do you think Jesus is feeling about this statement? That Jesus, give me Nigeria or I die. He died for the whole world. What do you think your life will do for Nigeria? Give God some break. Have you heard of this word called tetheless time before? You know, if some of these very intrusive apostolic people sit there, they will think I'm trying to take people to hell. But if they listen to me with an open heart, they'll be feeling freedom. Real freedom in their spirit. You've heard of this word tetelestai before. It's a Greek word. I'm even stammering saying it. Say it. It means it is finished, right? The English rendition. What Jesus said. Sabah, sabah. Oh, I think there's a Nigerian version of that. I don't want to go there. But he said, it is finished at the end. And he said it in Aramaic or in Greek, right? Tetelestai. Those words, you can use them in three. It is applicable on the earth in three different ways according to Greek cultures. Now listen carefully. If, for instance, you are owing debt and they pay the debt, or you've paid the debt, the statement that you write on your payslip or anything, or you say to people, is what? Tetelestai. It is done. If, for instance, you are in a court and the chief judge rules against you or for you, declares a judgment, whatever the judgment is what? Tetelestai. Alright? So, for instance, your sins are forgiven, what? Tetelestai. Your debts have been paid for, what? Tetelestai. And finally, if you win a war, the winner goes back home with the word tetelestai. Jesus won the enemy for us, tetelestai. Jesus paid for our sins, tetelestai. Jesus took the condemnation of sin against us. What do we call that again? Tetelestai. Tell somebody it is finished. How do you feel? Very free. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Very, very free. This sums up the revelation of righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin, so that through his becoming sin and dying and etc., you will become what? The righteousness of God. Don't feel so righteous because of anything. Feel so righteous because of what Jesus has done. Say, I'm righteous. Now, why I said this is because of what I'm about to say, or what I was saying before now. Your debt is not the reason for tetelestai. Are you listening to me? Your sweat is not the reason for what? Tetelestai. It is your alignment. Because tetelestai is a force. Your alignment with that force will help to bring the reality of what that force was meant for in manifestation. That force is supposed to change the world. You align with that force. You don't try to create another force from yourself through your emotional desires and etc. Align with that force, because what Jesus has done is more than enough. Take, for instance, the part of scripture, John 12 from verse 32. We're going to read together John 12 from verse 32. I want every living soul to read John 12, 32. Give me the Amplified rendition. The Amplified. Everybody, I want us to read this part of scripture. I want to read. And I... Stop. A long time ago it has been, if I be lifted up. And so people been painted a lot of meaning to that part of scripture. But thank God for Amplified. He said, if I am lifted up, where was he lifted up? On the cross. He said, at this point I am capacitated to what? Draw all men. Not some men. What? All men to myself. What do they need to do? They just need to see. You don't make any effort to do something so unique from your inside to them. Just like Jesus was, the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so will the Son of Man be lifted up. And all you need to do to be delivered from Satan's, you know, effect on your life is to look at the one that is lifted up on the cross. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? So what do you need to do, Christians, as soldiers of Jesus, to make sure that you present Jesus so much to your generation so that they see Jesus and get transformed? It's nothing about you. The transformation is not in you. Is in the revelation of Jesus. So even if it seems like you, it is because you are aligned with Jesus. You are like Jesus. So the more you are like Jesus, is the more you stand as a conduit that through you, God will change a generation. He will change a people. And God was in Christ. You see that? Reconciling the world to himself. Not counting their sins against them. And he has given to the same ministry of what? Where was he reconciling the world to himself? In Christ. If you are like Christ, he is reconciling the world through you. If you are not like Christ, you are limiting him. So your mindset can limit God. Religious mindset can limit God. Like the Pharisees, they limited God. You can imagine they said the greatest lie that is affecting a generation even till the date. They said, I mean, tell the people that his body was stolen. It was a lie. That guy I'm talking about now is in hell. He has been there for many years. But Israel are still there. Thinking, in fact, they think we don't know what we are reading in the Bible. Do you know Israelites think that they deceived us with the story? They believe in Yeshua HaMashiach, Yahweh. But if you say Jesus, they will carry stone. To them, the person helping them to defeat Iran and everybody is Yahweh, not Jesus. But now we know Yahweh is Jesus. Are you seeing problem now? Why? Because of one lie. That's how powerful wrong doctrines can become. That's the kind of effect they can have on a generation. Years ago, I read from the man of God, Derek Prince, a book called Lucifer Exposed. He explained something about religious fortresses that he called them strongholds. He said, these are cultural beliefs that have stayed for many years. Some of you are into, you grew up from places that you know, you feel it in your mind that it is not you that can change this doctrine. Because the way they are holding on to it, you just know that if you try something around changing this doctrine, they're going to beat you to hell. But you can prove from the word of God that it is wrong. You people get what I'm trying to say? One time my mom was telling me, say, Simon, you grew up here, don't talk to us like that. And I said, yeah, Jesus grew up in his church and stood against his church. The Bible says his custom will entail, every Saturday he was always in the temple. But the first person to speak up against the beliefs of the temple, some wrong beliefs in the temple, was Jesus. He broke some of the practices. For instance, healing somebody on the Sabbath. And they said it was wrong according to the belief. He said it is not wrong. He stood against it. What sound is that? Help us stop that. Hallelujah to Jesus. He stood against it. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. And several times he stood against their beliefs. You can go ahead and mention some of them. Remember the well? Remember Jacob's well? It was their culture. That was the best well. That well had the water of life. And Jesus told them that that well is just like every other well. Are we together? And they were angry at Jesus. They told Jesus, our culture entails that effective worship is done on the mountain. And Jesus is like, it's not supposed to be on the mountain. It's supposed to be in the spirit. You see that? But Jesus did not miss the culture of attending service while he was growing up. But did he talk against the wrong beliefs in that place? Yes. Remember he said something. He said, I have come for the falling and the rising of many in Israel. It's not a fight. That is why today it is so disappointing, but listen, it is the truth that we have a lot of Johns and Paul and Samuels who are cultists. We have them. This is the probability that I can calculate right now and tell you. They probably grew up in Christian homes. Some of them were probably baptized by water, either inside a river or by sprinkling. That's why they have baptismal names. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Some of them, they are probably communicants. Where I grew up, we used to have people call communicants. Some of them, they have even been confirmed as true Christians. But they are still cultists. Some of them are still sleeping with people's wife in the church. Some of them are liars. Some of them are, you can name all the atrocities. Years ago, in my local church, where I used to be in Kaduna in NDA, the chairman of the church council, I would never mention the name by mistake, I almost mentioned, he was announcing on a Sunday about the money that needs to be gathered. So he was calling for people to come and redeem their pledges and the rest. And when he holds the microphone, he does the whole thing so dramatically. So when he holds the microphone, he will be like, pray! And he will expect us who are drumming to be doing, you know those things. And we always used to do it, but till we got to hear the whole story, our lead vocalist went to him in ND for a job, and he said he must sleep with her before she get the job. And she called some of us who are close to her. She did not loud it to the, just told us that's what he told me, blah, blah, blah. It is well. We're already in pains. We're like, is this Christianity? Blah, 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 blah. And he has a wife, he has children who are doing well. Some in the military, some in diaspora. They are doing so well. But he wanted to sleep with somebody else's daughter. And he's a friend to that man in the church, her father. They work in the same church. So when it was time, he did praise. And my friend off the mic. He said, drummer, drummer, praise. And I just dropped the stick on the ground. And we walked outside. People were surprised. What a dramatic display from the instrumentalist. What has happened? We were trying to make him understand that we know what you have done. And those days were really stubborn because we know aside us, they will find nobody to play for them. You know, those days we were already timing one church that used to pay better or play better. So we wanted to run. So we're looking for the slightest opportunity. And so we're so disappointed. We had to do that. So what am I trying to say? These guys, Satan traveled through them in religious settings. When you are in a religious environment, the best of you will become a hypocrite. The best of you is a hypocrite. The best of you. Because you are not capacitated to do right, but you are preaching right. You are telling people to do the right thing, but you don't have the capacity to do the right thing. I don't know that you people get what I'm trying to explain to you. You are like, thou shalt not fornicate, thou shalt not commit adultery, but you're making. Your capacity cannot help for living against fornication and adultery. So the best of you is just a hypocrite. That's why Jesus called them more times hypocrite than he called them Pharisees. He never said Pharisees. In fact, if you tell Jesus Pharisees, he will not even remember. The number one word Jesus called them more than anything was what? Hypocrites. Brood of what? Viper. Salvation was coming to them. Now, listen to the doctrine that has the potency to change you. They were not listening to the doctrine. God brought the doctrine himself. You see why sometimes I preach without no fear in my heart? Listen, you know what? I've been preaching to this point and I have been coming to this church. Because some of you, the first time you heard me, I'm sure you almost ran away for your life. I'm very, very sure. Yet the next time you came and said, let me test again, it became worse. And when you now say, let me just hear small, you now are inside now today. You see, I remember a lady who always gave this testimony. She said, the first time she came here, she said, I will never come here again in my life. She promised herself. But she said, let me just come again here. I think at a point she said, the thing is just sweet in her. She was not really understanding, but it's just sweet. And when she gave in and gave, before you know, she's now praying in tongues. She's not part of us. It is because nothing can be done against but for the truth. And of course, because Jesus himself, who is God, preached and people did not receive. If Jesus preached and people said no, who are you? Are you listening to me? Get comforted, every preacher watching online, that sometimes people will say no and be very happy. Jesus even told us something. He said he's not our mate. That if he faced tribulation, who are we? Yes, I said it in a way that it would be sweet. He said, I'm not your mate, all of you. If I face tribulation, who are you? If I was persecuted, who are you? Who goes you? So when they persecute us, we should count it all what? Joy. For our Savior was first what? Persecuted. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Even said somebody said they will not believe you because they don't know me. That's why they will not believe you. He came to them, they were hypocrites already. They were liars. They were just pretending. This is how they were living. When they see people passing, they want to show their superiority by louding their voice, coming outside to pray. That's where people got that belief that some of us that pray out in tongues are praying like the Pharisees. It is a different context. What they do according to history is that they will come out and be moving around and shouting, hey, Messiah, Messiah. I've been doing dramatic things for people to be seen that they can pray. So that when they go into the temple and they talk something, people will listen to them and say, he prays loud. He knows the Lord. One day Jesus was passing. Let me say it like my friend said. And Jesus said, make una enter on our house, go pray. He said, get into your houses and pray. Stop behaving like hypocrites. He said, lock your doors and pray. Be comfortable that nobody saw you praying. Because the proof of prayer is not that you're on Facebook doing, stop behaving like a mad human being. I truly believe real prayer meetings, even the cameraman should pray. If we want to pray as a church, I always tell you people, we want to go sometimes hours of prayer. Why are we going live? Cameraman will be cameraing us. Cameraing. Capturing. English is not easy, I tell you the truth. He'll be capturing us while we are what? Praying. The best of it will just be. Come up for that place. Let's pray. One time I was telling my wife, somebody wants to do morning devotion. He said, camera. Amazing. Hey, Ishoko, go. What is that? Camera, what generation has become some sort of a camera generation? That sometimes we see somebody about to commit suicide, we just on the camera. So I'm right now around Yaba. The guy is about to join the jump off the bridge. I've been begging, brother, don't jump now. That's a generation. There was a generation that will go and hold your leg when you fall. They will not start beating you. You dey mad. You see the person. You dey mad. Why? Me like this. I don't care walk. My papa and mama don't die. I don't kill myself. Now you. I go pray. But this generation. I think one of the problems of this generation is that they are too soft. Before you know, they'll say he has a trauma. Before you know, it's take him to a therapist. Those days, the therapy was so easy. Mark, where you go? Where you go, Mark? Mommy, I didn't feel good about what you did to me in the afternoon. I wanted to kill myself, but I just changed my mind, some sort of. Hey! Mark, you won't do it, in. Hey! The koboko is out. For somebody that wanted to what? Kill himself. It will be pia, pia. Me kuna come here. Pia, pia. Your neighbor, your mother's friend will come. You nearly kill it, in. Pua! And when you are done, Mark will not kill himself. But this generation is Apollo every spot in here. Hallelujah to Jesus. So you see, that's not a proof of prayer. Jesus was warning them. He said, stop that. Don't be hypocrites. They think that when they sound like that and they stand on the podium and they say, hey, everybody. And you see, it works. It worked even in the generation, in that generation. Because people feared them. They reverenced them so much. It was Jesus that came and broke the camel's back. Let me put it like that. Jesus came and changed everything. Jesus was the first person that started telling them, calling them brood of vipers. Nobody had done it. He said brood of vipers. With their white and white, not black and black. He said, you are from your father, the devil. You see that? He told them that. He called them hypocrites. You know, people think we're not like Jesus sometimes when we teach against falsehood. Jesus applauded people for standing against falsehood in the book of Revelation. Go and read it. He applauded them a lot of times. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He did. I thank God and I thank you for standing against the wrong teachers of what? The Nicolaitans. Several times. So when something is wrong and you stand against it, it is the character of Jesus. Prayer is not bad. And I'm not speaking from some biases, some sort of. But if you always are trying to prove to a people that you are a prayer warrior, you don't pray actually. You don't know prayer. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You don't know prayer. And I think our generation, most people don't know how to just be free and just love themselves. People are under pressure, even young men of God. They want to prove a point. Have you ever seen Pa Adeboye or Pa Oyedepo or anybody just put the camera on themselves and they're Did you ever see them do such a thing? But you hear that they pray, you hear them talking, and they say, coincidentally, they may say, one of those days I was praying and it was six hours, and nobody has ever seen Padebo rounding the redemption camp on video, you know, putting him, Papa, I want to start praying. All right, cameraman, get set, light on, Papa will start praying soon. Everybody, take a little, Papa, don't move too much. But they say, record has it that he always prays. That at this young old age, he's still walking around that his church and he's praying. I hope you will know. But have you ever seen it captured on TV? All you see is the proof of what he's doing, the manifestations. You hear that somebody has given birth to twins. Just imagine the way he prays. Have you heard the way he prays sometimes? My father told me to come and tell somebody in this place that by this time next year, you are coming back to this convention with your babies. I mean, you are going to have twins. Somebody shout hallelujah. That's all. And twins are just coming out from people's stomach. You know, you are shouting, fire! Take! Take! Twins! Twins! You see, the manifestation of prayer is not by all those. I even get up trying to say, if you want to pray, lock up yourself and pray. If you truly are praying, need to show. Are you get what I'm trying to say? He said, they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. They shall abide. It is a day that pray on Facebook. He says in secret and he rewards openly. If you truly are praying, have rest in yourself. Have confidence in your prayer. The confidence we have is that when we pray, he answers us. Are you listening to me? In the book of Revelation, there were some sort of people Jesus condemned. He said they have a form of godliness. They look like prayer warriors, but they cannot pray. One time I was talking to Dr. Carrie St. John's, and he told me, Pastor Simon, you see all those their prayers that they will pray, and they will see 20 vision in 1 hour. He said it is not prayer. He said one of those days, some of them came around, and he wanted to stretch them small. And he told them, no visions, just pray in tongues. And you see them holding their stomach already, they are tired. Because when you pray small, my eyes are open. After 15, then you now analyze vision for 30 minutes. Before you know, say, I want to thank God, we have prayed 6 hours. Go stretch. Are you listening to me? And one of the best ways you can put that in your heart, one of the best ways to pray is to pray without prayer points. Just pray in the spirit. You see, when you are still growing, you have a lot of prayer points. Father, I want to thank you I want you to do this, I want you to do that. A point comes, you just pray in the spirit. Paul said, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than what? A lot of things will just be arranging for you. You see, one thing I've learned in church, nobody makes me to feel like prayer is not very powerful. Or prayer does not work. You see anybody around you that his life is not looking like he prays, he does not pray. No matter the kind of suits they are wearing, they are the liars. The word of God is not a liar. The word of God is not a lie, sorry. It's not everybody that you see that looks like a prayer warrior that prays. Some people only post about prayer, they don't pray. If you truly pray, it will show. And be very realistic if you want to pray. Time yourself. Don't say, I don't check time. You will never grow. Time yourself. You see all those people that say, I don't consider time when I pray. Most of them are lying. They pray for 5 minutes. Time yourself. So I started praying around 1:30. I'm not so sure. The long hand was around 1, maybe 2 or 3. So I'm not sure when I started. But I know, give or take, I should have gone 3 hours. And if probably God reveals it to you, pray just 10 minutes. How many of you have prayed so long, and when you check the time, you found that it was so short. Say amen. You truly thought it was so long until you checked the time. That's why you always need to set time. And the people that truly pray to a point that, you know, if they tell you, I didn't really check the time, you believe them, are those that started by setting time. You would have built capacity. It would have become your lifestyle. I have, you know, those days we're going, we used to have this friend who knows when it is 1 hour prayer. He knows. You don't tell him it's 1 hour. While we're praying, he said, we should have prayed an hour. Now you check, it's an hour. We are praying, say, we should have gone like 3 hours now. You check, it's like 3 hours. He has mastered it that he knows when 3 hours would have happened. That's how to learn how to pray. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? No pretense. Because God cannot be mocked. What you sow, you reap. It's not God that will be mocked. There's nobody that can whine God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? It's yourself you are whining. Else God is mocked. What a man sows, he reaps. So I submit to you, people you see in church who look like prayer warriors and their lives are not going straight, they don't pray. They only have this form of godliness, this religious form, but they truly don't pray. And for some of them who you think are praying and are not seeing results, are praying religious prayers. The Bible calls it like a word, clanging cymbal. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? 1 Corinthians 13, it likens that kind of prayer to be clanging noise in the spirit. Have you seen people that pray, you think pray very well, but they are very disrespectful? They talk anyhow? That's what I'm talking about. Because they knew not love before they started praying. They didn't know God. They were praying with no revelation about God. God is love. If I pray in tongues, in an unknown tongues, and blah, 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 and know not love, I am nothing. These are realities in the spirit. Hold them so there. Nobody should make you feel like you are not a Christian enough because you are not just clanking cymbals. Praying aimless prayer. One time I was telling my wife, I got so disappointed. I sent her the video. Somebody is leading a prayer and the whole purpose of the prayer is so that witches will not kill you and repent. And I said, how can people be behaving like this? I said, sent it to her. I said, I will not use less my life. Before a witch will kill me, I will not come and repent. Why me? I'm already dead. I said, how can a Christian think like that? That a witch can kill you. You are praying 3 hours to prevent a witch from killing a witch who does not understand the blood of Jesus. A witch without eternal life. Is it as wasted effort? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? More like clanging cymbals. We don't pray for victory. We pray from victory. I say that with me, want to go? We don't pray for victory. We pray from victory. We've been given the crown of victory. Our life started from the throne. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? We are seated together with Christ. We speak victory. When you understand your victory, that's where you pray from. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Satan is defeated in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm seated together with Christ. Oh, he that had power over death, Satan, has been destroyed. He has no power anymore. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I give you praise. I mean, this is how you pray. Not anything standing against my life. Nothing is against you. You know why? If God be, who can be? Nothing is against you. So don't say anything against me. Nothing is against you. In fact, when you say something is against you, you set yourself up. The Bible tells us that to subject yourself from evil to evil is to speak the wrong words. And to remove yourself from evil is to speak the what? Right words. I think it was Job that said that. That the Lord should help him to tame his tongue so that he will not subject himself to what? Evil. Are you getting what I'm trying to say tonight? Anything against me, nothing is against you. Nothing can be. Now, how do you pray from victory? It's called a fight of faith. Fight of faith. Meaning Satan will be fighting to making sure that your belief system is altered. Now, whatever God has said about you, if you believe it, he'll be trying to destabilize you. That's why it's called a fight of faith. For instance, you are believing that you have eternal life. Satan will try to be convincing you that you don't have eternal life. So the fight of faith simply means that you have to speak to yourself. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You are talking to yourself. You are using your words, the word of God, from your mouth to write upon your heart. In the name of Jesus, to strengthen your beliefs. In the name of Jesus, I have eternal life. Satan will not bring a picture in your heart. If you have eternal life, why did you sin the other day? I have eternal life. I refuse to sin. I can't wait to sin again. In the name of Jesus, my sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. I have eternal life. If he says something, you have what to see. There's a revelation. We defeat the devil through the blood of the Lamb by the words of our word, testimony. Or by the words of the blood of the Lamb, true. How do I connect that? Let the redeem of the Lord. It's not enough what the blood has done. You have to say it. That is how you touch the realities where that blood is supposed to, you know, touch. Where the blood is meant, what the blood is meant for. If, for instance, your sins are forgiven, don't just think your sins are forgiven. Say your sins are forgiven. Let the redeem of the Lord say it. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, so that with his tongue he speaks the word of God unto what? Salvation. Your mouth was not given primarily to chop. I've been telling you that. It is given primarily for you to what? Speak the word of God. Speak the reality of your life. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Oh, glory to God. Say, I'm blessed. I've never been blessed like I'm blessed tonight. In the name of Jesus. Now, as you are fighting this fight of faith, as you are speaking like this, there will be a fight of faith. One day you wake up, there's nothing in your account. Now, a blessed man will say, can I have 2K? Mm-mm. The fight of faith entails that you don't borrow. Because the Bible says, since I was born, now I'm getting old, I've never seen the righteous, what? Forsaking is the first word. No, what? Begs for bread. So, no, God, you can't forsake me. And if you really believe that he has not forsaken you, you will not beg. But when you see somebody ringing your phone and saying, can I borrow 2K? Just know that he feels God has forsaken him a lot of times. You know, the best response to tell such people, not those who truly need it, right? The best response to tell such people is that God has not forsaken you. GCMI, are you learning something tonight? So the next time that borrower, you know, these are your customers, right? The next time they call, what do you say? God has not forsaken you, brother. Don't beg for bread. If you're a borrower, you're not like me now. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You got to speak God's word. It is part of the fight of faith not to beg. Why? You know you are a blessed man. You live from victory. All your needs are met. I can never be broke. It's not me just being optimistic. It's the reality of my life. Now, I have to fight the good fight of faith. Meaning that sometimes Satan will suggest to me through the happenings that, be sincere, Simon, you are broke. You have to be sincere. Simon, look at what is happening around you. You are broke. I refuse to be broke. It's not like, what is wrong with this boy? I can never be broke in my life. And the demons of hell are like, hey. But you know what is happening with angels as you are saying those things? They are getting energized. Some of them have pot belly because they are tired. You've not been using them. Because your help is not from the Lord in your heart. The place you set your mind is not on the Lord. Your health is from a man. Your health is from a woman. Your health is from an uncle. Your help is from your elder brother. I said one time, bring water from the rock. Someone said, oh, my father is a rock. I'll bring the water. If you keep on setting your eyes there, isn't if you are dead with Christ and are resurrected? Set your eyes on the things that are above, at the Father's right hand. You know, some set of people, if they come in, they will not appreciate what we are teaching. They want apostolic doctrines, some depths. These are the truths that make you stand on the rock, that cause you to stand on the rock, so that when the floods of life comes and beat you vehemently, you are standing. They that trust on the Lord shall what? Be as Mount Zion. They can never be shaken. Never. Say, I can never be shaken. You don't complain. You don't complain, else you die in the wilderness. God, what is happening? God, if you are God, angels don't like those people. Remember, it was not God that killed them. It was angels that said, let them die. In fact, if Moses did not understand the ways of God very well, they would have died from the beginning of the journey. I mean, one time they were speaking one kind. The angel was like, allow me to tell these people something. Leave me alone. They were trying to stop me. And Moses said, I beg now. The guy was already vexed. Fire was already everywhere. Moses said, I beg. What people say now? That our God brought them from Egypt and killed them in the wilderness. Doesn't make sense now. Some people say it's God that Moses was speaking like that. Is he okay? It should have never been God, because God and Moses will never be in that kind of situation. Moses cannot put sense into the head of God. It has to be an angel, because even angels desire to see into these things. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It has to be. Who knows the heart of the Lord that he may instruct him? He said, for we have the mind of Christ. For a while, we were under the mastery of angels, the first man. But now he has crowned us with what? Glory and what? Honor. And set us above all the works of his hand. Are angels the work of his legs? They are part of the work of his hands. You see, people argue some kind of vain argument. You know why? If, for instance, you know how frail humanity is, you go in Okpoga, you have seen poverty, and God takes you to Abuja, and now you are glowing, and you know your village. You know how frail human beings are, how they have suffered, how people die from malaria. You know, then I explain angels for you. You look at the Bible, you see how angels stood with fire and sword. You are trying to compare, because your mind is full of the weaknesses of human beings. You've thought of how human beings are weak, fornication, adultery, blah, blah, blah. Those are the happenings. That doesn't mean that's a supposed reality of man. That's why the Bible says something in Colossians 3 and 3 in the Amplified Rendition. We're going to read together. Are you here? Colossians 3 and 3. The Amplified. Hallelujah. He said, for you died to this world. Listen, you died. Now, these are the things that will make you live above sin. You're not trying to die. You died. Now, a dead man, Romans 6, 7, is freed from sin. I died. Glory to God. Now, the nature that supports the free flow of sin is gone. I am not second guessing. It's gone. In the name of Jesus. I have the nature of righteousness. I can sin. Glory to God. Now, you boast in the Lord. This is what it means to be on the rock. The rock. It must be something really powerful as a rock. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Go back there. He said, for you died to this world. 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 And your new real life. Your new real life. It looks new. It seems new. But it's a real stuff, brother. That's what was supposed to be in the first man. He never touched the reality of it. But we have touched it today. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. Your new real life. Oh, glory to God forevermore. New real life. New real life. The real life is what we're talking about right now. The Zoe life. The God kind of life. Do you understand? So, irrespective of the weaknesses of human beings we have seen, don't fill your heart now with those information. The Bible says in the book of Colossians 3:23, right? Is it 23 or 22? He said we should not think, talk like the... He said our conversation should change. What was that? Ephesians what? Ephesians 4. He said forget the former conversations. Forget the former conversations in the old KJV. Forget the former conversations. Media, help me. Just get it for me. He said, forget it. Don't talk like before again. Start talking new. Do you understand that you put off concerning your former conduct? Give me the old KJV. Oh, glory. That you put what? Off concerning the former word. Conversation. The old man. You don't talk the old man again. It should not be your topic. Don't talk weakness. If you talk the old man is already subjected to sin. To be carnally minded is death. Don't feel just like a normal human being. I'm just a human being, a civilized human being. You are carnally minded. And if you are only carnally minded, you will be subjected to sin and death. Let eternal life be part of your civilization. Talk eternal life. I'm full of the life of God. In the name of Jesus. When you meet human beings, they should feel like, the Bible says we are like aliens upon the face of the earth. But some of us want to feel normal with human beings. You must prove you are like an alien. If they don't think you are an alien, you are not fulfilling the word of the Lord. Some of you want to sound so nice to your fellow colleagues at work and everybody. I'm not saying don't be nice, you know what I'm trying to say? But you are trying to just dilute this life, some sort of, before them, so that they don't see you as strange. You want them to see you like somebody that has sense. And that's a problem. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They must say, why are you talking like an alien? They go, wow. What did you say again? Why are you talking like you are not in this world? Wow. What did you say again? Why are you talking like you are not on that Tinubu? Wow. What do you say again? Why are you talking like you are not in Nigeria? Glory to God. You carry all joy. You begin to get excited. They got it now. They say you are like an alien. They are meaning you are fulfilling the word of God. When men say there's a casting down, say, I can never be broke. Say, is it mad? We are switching into reality. Bit by bit, darkness is paving, giving space for light. As you said, I can never be broke. Something happens in the atmosphere. Something is happening. The darkness is shifting. Before you know, it will be 3 a.m. and the cock will crow. Before you know, you are both. Are you going to get undressed? Oh my God. Oh my God. When you wake up by 3 a.m., after you're cool, 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 is the place bright? It's not bright. Prophetic word will not come when the place is bright. You hear? Cool, cool, cool. Not that I'm saying cool, cool, cool. I'm giving you a word. At 3 a.m. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, Satan will come by 3 a.m. too. He doesn't want 4 a.m. to happen at 5 a.m. He's trying to convince you that it's so far. Oh my God. It's so funny. I was reading the Bible one time and I thought of something. They call it midnight. That's what they call it. When is midnight? Huh? Huh? They call 12 a.m. midnight. What do they call 2 a.m., 1 a.m.? Huh? I'm hearing semi-midnight. Well, within those period, it's still called midnight. Early night. But if you look at it more vividly, as it gets darker, you are tilting towards brightness. I want to prove to you, by the word of the Lord, it is at this point that Satan will want to tempt you and try you the most. In your darkest moment, you'll be feeling like there is no God, but you are very close to breakthrough. Exodus 13:17. I tell you, when it's time for the glory, you will feel no hope. When it's almost time for the glory, an outburst of the glory, that's when you begin to reason that I've been wasting my time. Is this journey worth still going on? That's why I started with the song. If you have to lay it on the altar, if you must see the glory of God, lay your life. Say, God, finish what you have started. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? God, you own this life. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines. Although that was near. Somebody said that was near. It says, for God said, least perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. The nearest and shortest path, there is war. There is fight. It's the nearest path. It probably would have been 1 day, 2 days, 1 week, but they had to stay 40 years. And God did not lead them through that path because, not because there was war, but because if they see the war, he knows them. They are still cheeky. They'll come back and say, we are going back to Egypt. I'm going somewhere. When I saw this revelation, it hit my heart so much. That simply means if the mindset was right, they will not enter the promised land. What will happen? They will face the war and enter the promised land. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. God did not lead them through the path of war, the shortest distance to the promised land, because their mindset was wrong. Because if they have the right mindset, they will go first and what? Fight war. God said if they face war, they'll go back to Egypt, because their mindset was not right. So if they have the right mindset, what will happen? They'll fight war and what? Enter Egypt. And that's why God told them, he said, go and fight. They were, no, we cannot. We are so small. We are blah, blah. He said, go and fight. We cannot. Take us back to Egypt. The word of the Lord was still fulfilled. They refused to go and fight. If they had the right mindset, they will fight and what? Enter. How many of you have light in this place? Paul says something about the test of light. When the light comes, the right mindset have come. It is you Satan is looking for. Because of the seed of the word, tribulations and trials will come. Why? The word is in you. The mindset is in you. So, since the right mindset is in you, God thinks you deserve that war now. You can go through that war. And remember, if you are going through the path of that war, the victory is near. You didn't get what I'm trying to explain to you. By the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Why? Their mindset was wrong. Because if they face the war, they will change their minds and go back to Egypt. Oh, we are born again, we got discipled, we are going to change the world. And they face some war. I'm going back to the world. We've lost some women back to the world. They've gone to marry. We've lost some men back to the world. Paul speaking, he said, I've lost one of my boys. He has gone to the world. We've lost people because they face the enemy. They face persecutions and tribulations and they turn their back. They went back. Meanwhile, they didn't understand that the reason they are facing this temptation and tribulation was because the right mindset has come. Remember, they got excited when the word came. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But some sort of, when the enemy started dealing with them, they felt like, no, it's not worth it. And they turned their back. And they went away. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Because some sort of, there's something in their life, which I promise to share with you while we're talking the first part of the meeting. I said, the reason why that place, even though I plan to do this more Sunday, the reason why their hearts were called stony hearts, one of the very interesting reasons is because they already had stuffs in their hearts. They already had, they had some kind of wrong patterns, wrong character patterns. Are we together? Take for instance what I was trying to explain. I said, you come to our church, you don't have, for instance, you know, we want to disciple people here, and you were already in a wrong relationship. You are not serious with the Lord. One of the things your leader will tell you is that relationship the right relationship? He will say, you are not sure. You say, oh, if since you are not sure, leave the relationship. It is part of discipleship. He will tell you, most of you are here to this, I've told you, if it's not the right relationship, leave it. If you are not sure of it, leave it. Don't just second guess. You are not anybody. You are a child of God. And you see that one of the first things you do is that you lose a relationship. Before you know, you yourself are beginning to lose, take yourself off some friends. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But if you say you want to continue the relationship, your heart is already stony. Something is wrong. You come to church, you hear the word of God, it gets you excited. You go back home, it is easier for Satan to take you out. Now the word of God is suggesting you should do this, you should do that. You're supposed to get into another level of glory. But because you are in a wrong relationship, Satan has seen the potency to get you down. Alright? And so maybe the guy calls you, hello Cynthia, can I come and see you? And you're like, oh hell, I don't really have time, but you can come over. And this woman of God that's supposed to be a revivalist, because she's in a relationship, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Is now talking with Samuel by 10 p.m. And Samuel is now playing some kind of stunts because they think Satan is cheap. Satan knows that you have heard words that are suggesting you are a revivalist. And now you have a girlfriend or you have a boyfriend, and Satan steers them like he did with Peter for Jesus. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Listen to me very deeply. Very deeply. So the HOD said, leave the relationship, because he knows that Satan will come through that relationship tomorrow. When you start burning for the Lord, he will come to quench that fire through that relationship. Your heart was not ready already. You were not listening to instructions. So you were excited. You heard the word of God. You were charged, but you did not leave the wrong relationship. So now Satan uses that guy, that lady, to get you back down. Now you've made a mistake. Move forward. You can't move forward. Satan is suggesting, with the persecution and the tribulation, it's like you are not worth it. You cannot do it. It is easier to go down because of that guy in your life, that wrong lady in your life. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I mean, people have given up on themselves several times. Not because Satan is powerful, but because they've already been setting themselves up. They were not listening to God. I can show you several times in scripture, especially for Elijah. Some of you used to see Elijah like one kind of Superman. And I'm not saying he's not an unsuperman. But listen carefully. Paul started by telling us that Elijah is a man with like passion like us. He said that so that he will say what he will say and you will believe it even more. He said, but he prayed that there will be no rain. And there was no rain. I have more to say about Elijah. Let me expand on what Paul said. Do you know Elijah, after he won a victory, he did not lose. Oh, he won. After he won prophet of Baal and dealt with them, the next thing, Elijah started trekking. He was going for another assignment. He got tired. And he told God when he was hungry and weak that he's not going anymore. God did not beat up Elijah. God did not say, Elijah, you're an idiot. You know what God did? He brought food for Elijah. Pampered Elijah. He ate and stood up and continued moving. This is how much God can be merciful to people's foolishness. I don't know that people are getting what I'm trying to explain. But imagine Elijah had the wrong woman for a wife. What took Solomon down? They say, don't marry strange women. Women that marry that have what? Other gods. He was marrying women. He now added the other kind of women. What took Solomon down? Those other women. You think Satan is that cheap? You are not sure about the relationship you are entering. You think Satan is that cheap? He plays that cheap. Him that the Bible calls like a roaring lion, looking for souls to devour. You know you have no destiny with. Do you know how many people are in love blindly? Just by talking to each other. If you think I'm joking, pick somebody here, start talking to the person for 2 months, you fall in love. Is that cheap? Just start talking with Samuel for 2 months, with John, with Abigail for 2 months consistently. How was your day? Before you know, you start blushing. Before you know, you start missing the voice. Before you know, most of you have best food. Not because they born you with the food. Your mother programmed you to like that food as your best food. There are some of you that cannot eat without obeying your food. It's not because they born you with obey, but because you grew up in a home that if obey does not enter food, it is not food. It is just meat pie. Till obey steps in. So now you are married. Everywhere in the house is smelling obey because you must eat it. You must eat it. Like my wife likes garlic. When we started a relationship, I was the most amazed. So that is the word, abacked. If there's anyone like that. I was so surprised that somebody eats garlic in food. So the first time we started talking and we started a relationship, she now wanted to cook for me. One time after church, she cooked for me and she gave me, I took home. So I wanted to eat the food and I smelled garlic. So, Jesus Christ, garlic inside the egusi soup. So nutritious, see the chicken, see everything, but there was garlic inside. So I picked the meat small and I managed myself. And I ate and I covered the soup and kept. She goes, how was the food? I said, so delicious. Never eaten like this in my life. Since my mother born me, I've never eaten this kind of food. It's the best food I've ever eaten. She was so happy. At a point when I was not getting used to her, I have to now tell her the truth. She said, tell me the truth. Do you like garlic? I said, I don't like garlic. She said, so why have you been lying? I said, we just started now. I didn't want to spoil this relationship. I had to just take some of these things. But now let me tell you the truth. If I smell garlic in food, I will know it. She didn't say, no, I'll force you to like it. It's good. My mommy taught me it. Now, her mommy. The mom has come to our house several times, and I really understand why the mom is a mom. The mom eats, she eats living things. She just eats living things. You know, she can just be eating carrots. She can just be eating this. She can eat sometimes. You tell her she wants a pawpaw that is not so ripe, the one that is very strong. And she eats things. Do you understand? She eats for eating sake. We chop. So sometimes she says, my mom says she just wants. They'll just be making one kind of food. I'll be wondering. I said, what? They want to do two. We two. The mom says, what's that thing again? That brown thing. That wheat, the one you turn for her. More time. More of the times. Huh? Plantain flour. When they turn it, you see the thing like starch. But our own is semo and akpu and pounded yam. So I understood. Then they now see garlic plenty. And I'm saying, they'll put garlic plenty inside the food. I will just thank God for their lives. So I understood where the problem came from. What am I trying to say? Most of you, your best food here. What's your best food? Mention once. Your parents, the situation around presented itself for that to become your best food. Maybe some of you grew around cashew. You like cashew very well. You like cashew nut. Some of you grew around where there was granite very well. Your best oil is granite oil. So, you know, it's just the... Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Like me now, I'm very used to Hausa food. If you give me... Do you know I eat kuka? You know kuka? Some of you don't even know it. Kuka is one of my favorite soup. I like it so much. But my wife does not even know that thing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The slightest opportunities in the north, I always eat me and kuka. If you want to be my best friend, just do me and kuka. I will be visiting you every day till I leave that state. I want to come and bless your house today. Are you available? He said, yes, I'm coming to bless the house. Just do me and kuka. No seed. So because I grew up there, are you getting what I'm trying to say? I ate a lot of me and kuka. Not because they born me with what? Me and kuka. That's how it is. Start talking with a girl or a boy today. You fall in love. I tell you the truth. Start talking. God can give you a husband or a wife. But when you start talking consistently, you find that you are in love. Sometimes, some children, they'll have coppers as their teachers in secondary school, some boys. They'll be in love with the coppers. Because the copper is coming to teach them, maybe they'll be dreaming dreams that will never come to pass. Hey, copper, oh my God. The one that comes to pass is when the copper is a man. That one can come to pass. Do you understand? But if the copper is a woman, do you understand what I just said? It comes to pass. Because those coppers, they used to carry our secondary school girls very well. Those days. Will come and pretend that they are serving Nigeria and be serving the school girls. You know, some of them who are not disciplined. Do you all understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So as I'm talking now, some of you are seeing why your heart will become stones and the word of God will soon live because of persecution. When persecution and the rest come now, you will run away because as we are instructing you not to enter the relationship, you are entering. As we are saying break up, you now lie that you are broken up. You now put the message in disappearing mode. The Bible says, God before him, everything stands naked. See, you are not only naked before God when you are bathing. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? He doesn't only know your password. He's seen your WhatsApp message without opening the phone. He is God Almighty and there is no one like him. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? He is in your thought. He is everywhere at the same time. Even as you are talking, he's hearing you. So while we say don't do it and you are thinking it in your head, he's hearing you. Check the book of Revelation. There was nothing they said that he did not tell them. He shook them. All their imagination, he told them. To the church, he removed the record. Has record for every church and every member. I know your goods. You used to come for choir rehearsal. I know you're good. But one thing I have against you. When Pastor Emma told you to break up, you did not break up. Because you thought it was Pastor Emma, it was me. When he told you not to be talking, you people were talking. In fact, you were talking about why he was disturbing himself about you people. You even mocked him. it is here. She laughed. Ha ha, Pastor myself. You know, I say, now, wow. He will tell you everything. So detailed. You that was in welcome team, one thing I have against you. I've trained my servant, Pastor Peter, with so much fire as a soldier, and you don't want him to train you like a soldier, like himself. He's taking you through the fire, and you are crying, and you won't dare to insult him in your heart, but this insult did not click. You almost hit the insult. I still have that against you. Why did thou think that evil thing? So person, pastor told you not to be escorting anybody after Tuesday service, but you will go and stay around the gate like you are waiting for his car to pass, and when it pass, you now do like you are arranging yourself, and when she pass and you not open the discussion, it's a greeting. I see you. Those things are heaping up as a reason why Satan will get you down. See, Adam told Eve, God said you should not eat from it. Eh? But you, Eve, don't go close to it. Is it? Don't even go close to it. If Eve did not go close to it, Satan would have not seen her for a conversation. It's called the knowledge of good and evil. Evil is there. Don't go close. You are in talking terms with an unbeliever, a man that has the potency to deal with you. You are in talking terms. You will fall in love. And now this is your revival fire that we are talking about. This is your revival fire. You cried. You roll on the ground. Prophecy are over you. Some people don't like this Theophilus song. It is their greatest nightmare. Those that are not following the will of God. Especially those ladies that have gone to marry wrongly. Have you observed that most ladies who are claiming to be revivalists, if Satan get them, the next thing is marriage. They don't need to pass 5 months. It's just be like it's the church that is stopping their marriage. So when they hear songs like there is prophecy over, it is, they will be crying. Not because they want to fulfill it, but they can't fulfill it. They have married wrongly. How should not tire you and you should go and marry? Are you listening to me, young ladies? Your father should not disturb you too much and you go and marry. Say, this house have tired me. Let husband come and carry me and go. Carry you and go to the one that will kill you. No matter how star you, your father cannot kill you. I told one lady, she said her mother is telling her, go and go to your husband. I said, tell your mother to go to your father's house. This is my father's house. And I said, don't tell her, it's me that said. Nobody should put you under unnecessary pressure. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? I've spoken about what makes the heart strong. Because you see, when you disobey God one time, your heart is getting... How do they make road? What's the first thing they pour? Do I have civil engineers in this place? What's the first thing they pour to make any road? Road construction. They will first grade the road. They will now pour what? Sand. Right? Latra. After latra, they will pour... sand. After sand, they'll pour. After that one, they'll pour. This is how people's heart gets shrunk. When you disobey God the first time, they've graded the road. When you disobey Him the second time, they've poured latra. As you disobey Him the third time, they've poured another thing. That's how you get to a point that the road now is fully constructed. That's why the Bible says, when you hear the Lord, harden not. Sometimes offense, as you are hearing, you are hardening your heart. But the easiest way to arrive in a hardened heart is through disobedience. You come to that point that you are not hearing God at all. Nothing makes sense. If they say, if they talk about prophecies, fulfilling prophecy, you don't get moved. After you are like, so why would you want us to go out? I want to chop fish. Like they just sang a song, there is prophecy. It did not shake your spirit. Their heart is now hardened through a lot of disobedience. So when they heard the word of God, they get so excited about their hearts. is strong. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's too strong. Before you know, their path of disobedience begin to haunt them. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? That's the explanation of that power of scripture in Matthew 13:20-21. They've already they have hardened heart already. So as we are training you in church, giving you the word of God, we are instructing you in righteousness, you know, rebuke and etc., you got to listen. You have to listen. This is why me today, I am your preacher. I am not a self-made man. Oh. You think I just evolved? Somebody trained me. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And if I only left it that doctrine, I would not be your preacher today. If I say, okay, let's leave it as a doctrine, I will not be your preacher. He instructed me. Prophet Solomon told me to break up. I cried and I broke up. I loved the lady. I truly loved her. I thought I did. I mean, sorry. But he told me to break up and I cried. I'll be talking with a lady with his almost clicking. I felt like I heard God. As we are talking and talking and talking. Do you know why sometimes I don't get so worried when I see people misbehaving? I just call them and advise them with a smile on my face. I remember when I was a young Christian. I'll be on to go talking to this beautiful lady. I remember her name. I won't say it so that she will not, you know, hear. I was talking to her and where the talk was flowing so well, I was about to hit the nail on the head. Boom! And prophet called me. Simon, what are you doing? Where are you? Sir, I'm in the house. Where? In the house. On my bed, sir. What are you doing now? Something is wrong. Sir, nothing, oh, nothing. Simon, what are you doing? Nothing, sir. The more you deny, the more he gets inspired. Are you on to go? Yes, sir. What are you doing on to go? Chatting, sir, with my brothers in the faith. Simon, who are you chatting with? I see a tall, fair lady. What's her name, sir? Simon, if you continue like this, you will not go anywhere in this life. You just see me neither. Sir, I'm sorry. Sorry for yourself. Say sorry to God. Block her now! I don't only stop the chat. I was toasting you. The next moment, I block you. What happened? They are calling me now. I'm blocking call. Hello, please, can we just stop talking? I don't want to have anything to do with you again. Did I say anything wrong? No. Did I? No. I did not tell her my spiritual father said I should not be talking to you again. You want to marry me? You really want to marry me? Meet Prophet Simon. Say, sir, your daughter said I should meet you. Why did she say she should meet me? She said you are the one that have the final say. That's how some people put me in trouble. You want to marry? Marry now. Why are you telling anybody to come and meet me? You want to set me up? I used to send them back to them. Go and meet her. I don't have any business. Are you listening to me? We are not saying sometimes you don't have those wrong feelings. You may not want to make mistake. But as long as you are malleable like a metal, like metals, malleable like ions, I mean, malleables, or which word will I use? Submissive. We can edit what is wrong and put what is supposed to be there. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? We're not just looking for people who have all everything figured out. As long as you can listen, that's all. Learn to listen. Tell somebody learn to listen. That's all. Else, Satan will get you down. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. If you are really trusting God, follow the instructions He gives you. Even working with Him, follow the instructions. He says, do this, do it. Do it, brother. Do it. Do it. Go through the wall. Go through the wall. You've been receiving revelation. Paul calls it test of light. The light has come. As you are shouting, the next thing we now saw was what? Persecution and what? Tribulation. Why did they come? Because of the word. Satan's like, Wow, this thing has come. Get him down. As he's trying to get you down, no, the word has come for you to rise. The Bible said, the Bible speaking in the book of Isaiah, it said, darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people. But upon you shall what? The glory of God arise. It said, arise and shine for your light, for the glory of the Lord. So why will you arise and shine now? Why is it your time of rising and shining? Your light has come. Do you have your light today? That means naturally in the realm of the spirit, when light comes, it's time for shining. So when light comes, Satan is scared because he knows it's your time to shine. It brings tribulation and trials and persecutions. See what Jesus told us. He said, I didn't allow them to go through war because they didn't have the right mindset. Else they'll go back and go back to Egypt, and I'll not be able to take them into the promised land. He said, I didn't allow them to go through war. They have wrong mindset. Light has not come. Else we'll go back to Egypt. Can you imagine the number of people that have gone back to Egypt because of war? Can you imagine the number of people in this as Christians in this kingdom that have gone back to the world because of war? Because of trials and persecutions and tribulation. Meanwhile, Jesus had told us, he said, there's no trial that has come to you beyond your ability to overcome. They came because he knows you are worth the trial. You know, in the New Testament, the promise is beautiful. He said, I will not allow it come. God is faithful in that. That's how Paul put it. He said, God is faithful in that. He will not allow any trial come to you beyond your ability to overcome. How is he faithful? What has come? You have the ability to what? Overcome. That's why he allowed it to come. You see that now? So it has come. Why are these people stubborn in this department? Why are these people stubborn in this? Why are these people stubborn in myself? Because there's an ability. There's something in you that should find expression. There's a glory in you that's about to find expression. That's why he allowed it. Because pressures will bring about that glory. It will bring about that juice. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There's something on your inside that he wants to shake into manifestation. So he said, go through this thing. Go through it. Go through it, son. Do you understand? I mean, even if you fall and you are getting swallowed up, he said, I will bring you up. But the goal is not that you just sit there and say, God has brought me up. Stand up and keep on walking on the water. Keep on walking. The goal is that you walk upon the circumstance. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You feel swallowed up by sometimes and Jesus brings you up. Don't just stay there. Keep on walking. Tell somebody, keep on walking. That's what we meant by learn to bring water from the rock. There are many of us Christians. I would not lie to you, people. I've trained people who have gone back to Egypt. Like a Moses in this generation. I've trained people who have turned their back to Egypt because they could not face the persecution and the tribulations that comes with accepting Jesus. That comes with pursuing a vision. Pursuing or pioneering a revival in a generation. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You see, this is your life, you are looking like this. God will use it to do a lot of wonders. A lot of wonders. But you must go through the fire. Remember, you will get to the promised land very fast if you go through the fire. If you go through the war, he said the path is narrow, but because of war, I will not allow them to go inside. Else, their mindset right now will not what? Help them to what? Win the war and enter the promised land. They'll run back to Egypt. So let me allow them to go through the wilderness for 40 years. Guess what? These people were traveling in one location. The first time I caught this revelation, I almost slammed my Bible. If my Bible was breakable, it would have broken. The Lord showed me how that these people, if you go and do the study, the wilderness is not that big. They were moving through, they were just in a circle. God was just taking their life like this zigzag. Not because it was his intention. Look at it very deeply. It is not God's way for those people to go through that. It was because their mindset was not right. Meanwhile, as long as we are God's children, listen to me. According to this part of scripture we read in the book of Exodus, we must go through the fire. We must go through the fire. But not that long like the children of Israel. Remember, if their mindset are right, they will fight the war and what? Enter the promised land. I don't know how you people are getting what I'm trying to explain to you. But since their mindset is not right, let them go. They were just going like this. Follow like this. Go like that. Turn like this. Turning like that. Turning like this in a circle. Geographer said they were just going in a circle. They were just turning. The reason why they didn't know it was a circle was because when God sees that this road they have followed before, he will not follow like this again. And cut. So that's how they were moving for 40 years. Meanwhile, there was a shorter path. The shorter part is the part of what? War. The part of fire. The part of tribulation. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So Jesus will promise you in the New Testament, say, do not feel weary. Do not grow weary. Do not grow weary. Do not grow weary in doing good. You are going through that season. He said, keep the good character. Keep the faith. Speak the right confession. Say the right things. Don't grow weary. Because as you are going weary, you are complaining like the children of Israel. You're going to die in the wilderness. This complaining is a proof that I can't take you through the war. If you are complaining like this, there's a war, brother. I want to take you through this war. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I think we should be like, God, we are ready for the war. We are ready for the war. We are ready. Take me through the war. Of course, because the light of God is already in your spirit. Paul calls it the test of light. Listen, Paul was in this situation in his life. See what Paul said. Father, take away this thing from me. Just like Jesus said, if it was possible, take this cup away from me. But I understand that this is something that has to happen. I'm not promising anybody here a life not full of trials. It must happen. See, it is something that must happen. Sometimes my pastors are amazed. When they look at me, after one stupid thing happens, they want me to look emotional. It is something that must happen. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It is something that has to happen. Jesus calls it like, he said, this baptism is a baptism I must receive. The death, burial, and resurrection. He said, if it is possible, let this cup pass me. But Father, not your will. Not my will, but your will be done. Immediately he said, your will be done. Strength came. You know what I'm trying to say? Anytime you say, God, I'm ready to go through it, you mount up ability. The supposed ability, the supposed glory on your inside finds expression. God, I'm ready to go through it. Suddenly angels came and began to what? Strengthen him. That was before he was revealed as the Christ. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Angels began to strengthen him. They did not strengthen him not to go through it. When they strengthened him, he went through it. God, you say I've been bought with a price. You say I have eternal life. You say I can do all things through Christ. You are just shouting everywhere. I know who I am. I know now you are getting through the fire. There's a baptism you must receive. And as you start the journey this morning, say, no, God, this is not you. You are not here. He is there. The reason you are entering this thing is because of the things you have said. Your life is complicated. You have said certain things. Are you beginning to try and say, he is there. You got to go through this fire. He said, if you go through it, I am with you. Are you beginning to try and say, you have to go through it. You have said everything now. Go through it. Paul said, take this thing away from me. Take it, take it. I mean, Paul with all the light, he said, take this infirmity from me. Take it, Lord. Take it. He prayed three times. And the Lord answered Paul and said, Paul, what you have been saying, I want to say it to you. The way you have been saying it, Paul, my strength is perfect in weakness. God did not give Paul a new revelation. He said, Paul, what you have been believing, I want to say it to you. My strength is perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. Let me end by saying this. No matter what you are going through or you will go through, you don't need any extra strength from heaven. If they came to you, you had equal ability to overcome already. God's strength is perfect for you. God's grace is so sufficient for you. I mean, I'm so excited with the depths of the things I'm going through because I didn't know I'm this powerful. If God allowed these things to come, I'm this powerful. You know, some of you have come to that point in your life where you said, I didn't know I was this powerful. I went through this thing. You are this powerful. I've met sometimes even ladies I train, especially ladies, and sometimes when I see them weary, I tell them, if you don't go through this thing, you are not a woman of God. You are not a pastor. If you don't go through this fire, you are not a pastor. You mean I'm going to tell you to train other ladies in this church with a very boring Christian walk of it? It has to be adventure, some sort of. You should have gone through fire. So that when I tell you, come and stand here and talk to my ladies, I can go and sleep. Because I know you have the right words to tell them. I know it was not a lady that had small fire and ran away for her life that is stuck in there. I will not tell you to. You can't make women. But if I know the things you have gone through and you are still standing, I can take a trip to Dubai with my wife and I'll say, have a women retreat. I know who is speaking. I know the victories have been won secretly. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You are not just a mental assenter, an inspirational speaker. No. You are one that have gone through the war and have entered into the victory. So you now understand how to bring people into victory. I'm talking about women that can tell a woman what has happened to you. Say, I've been abused 5 times. And instead of the whole church crying, I'm saying, why are you people crying? They are amazed. Which woman? And you now say, me, it's 20 times. And be like, count it all joy, sister. Call her and start talking to her. Sometimes you have found pastors who will be talking in a service and somebody is crying. And you hear the case, but the pastor is so confident. You know why he's like that? He has seen worse. He can't start his story. You can't raise people. People are going through a lot. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Some of you, the day oil came upon your head. I was telling a lady. I said, the day oil came upon your head, troubles came. You want to run back to Egypt. Oil came upon your head and troubles for your life. You think the oil is coming to just make you arrange your hair properly. You take yourself small. If you are not careful, you are back to Egypt. You are talking with those girls that you were talking with before you became born again. You want to now marry that kind of their spec. You didn't know that oil came upon your head. Oil came upon your head. And because of the oil, Satan said, this one we must get her down. Pastor Simon cannot be doing these atrocities on the earth. What kind of thing does he want to do? What kind of people does he want to raise like this? You think you are small as a church? The whole of hell are looking. What is this guy attempting to do? What is he attempting to do? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Hear the big visions that you will change the world. You truly think you will change the world? And you are surprised at the things happening to you? Do you know the darkness in the world? Do you know the kind of forces you will meet as you are journeying through life? Do you know that you go to places that you see human heads? And they will tell you that before you pass here, you have to provide 5 heads. Have you not heard of people that won a competition and they tell them, sleep with us, not me, us, to get the car? You know the forces on the head? You know the head that has to be lifted up? And you are saying, oh, you go through things. You have to go through things to be fortified like Daniel. Such that when you are seated with billionaires and they tell you to compromise, you are like, I can't compromise. It's not about the thing you want to give me. Where I'm coming from, the things I've seen, my fortification and consecration cannot allow me to do such a thing. Oh king, they said, concerning this matter, we are not careful. Oh, he said, we'll cast you in the fire. They said, please take us in the fire. The man that took them there, you know the thing they said? This is how crazy faith can be. See, if we perish, we perish. These are people who have been made. They did not start winning that victory that day. They did not start talking. They have gone through stuffs. That's why they are arriving at this kind of place. You know, a lot of times Satan, the moment, you know, when you are looking for, when you are thinking, you know, you really want glory, isn't it? Look at what Satan did to Jesus. He thought Jesus had the wrong mindset of everybody in the world. He said, if you worship me, I will give you the glories of this world. A lot of people, that's what they want. He saw Jesus like a man. He was not looking like God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He said, if you bow to me, he wants to give you the whole. What is there? I beg. I did not even talk with my mind that I'm worshiping. I beg. A lot of times, for us who are the consecrated people, set apart people, what the devil does is this. At the peak of the trials and the darkness, he will always come with that offer, Jesus. If you will bow to me, bow to him is not like doing like this. If you will just leave this ministry and just focus on this other side of life, you get what you are. In fact, you will be presenting it. If I leave Makurdi now for 2 years, just 2 years, I know where I'll be by now. And this is the same person saying, the Lord has told me to serve here, blah, blah, blah. And when it's time, they should push me to whatever city. The person is now saying, sounding another way. The same trial with Jesus. You've seen somebody who God wants you to marry, and Satan is showing you a lot of problems with the person. A lot of problem. You know the kind of problem? A lot of problem. Like, he doesn't know how to dress. That's the problem he has. There's a lot. That's the lot of problem. The rest can dress and they can womanize. But somehow, because of what you are looking for, you prefer them. If you can worship me, are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? I will give you the glories of the world. So you're already seeing the glories of the world. My spec is not in this place. This is somebody who wants to fulfill prophecy. Your spec. is not in the house of the Lord. The reason for church is kingdom. Kingdom is the reason why we have church. It is through church we fulfill the dream of the kingdom.
You cannot differentiate the kingdom life with church life. It's not possible. You get what I'm trying to say, right? You can't. We should see everybody. The proof that you understand kingdom in church is that you are living exactly like Christ. Like exactly like Christ. The way the kingdom of God entails. Diverse trials, diverse tribulations. There are wicked places of the earth, dark places of the earth. Very dark places. I was talking about something in my spirit. I thought I was talking to my wife. I didn't even mention that to her. I was analyzing as a prophet. The Lord will show us things like this sometimes. I was looking at Jesus. I was like, the man, the governor does not understand God's prophetic agenda for Jesus. He has a desire to serve God, but he doesn't have the capacity. He doesn't. A desire. Before you know, they got him. Satan got him. He's not part of ABC. He used to be a PDP person. They got him. Now, before he would be entering villages where there's killing and be shouting on security officers. Now he cannot. Just yesterday he was in a one atrocity. He was in a tanker. Was addressing people. What a shame. And they told him, come outside and meet us. Meaning he went there, should, in case they shoot, the bullet should not touch him. You know what I'm trying to say? These are people that would have probably said, God, if you put us there. Men of God have laid hands on their head. If you put us there, we'll change us. Whether we like it or not, Jesus carries a prophetic agenda for this country. Nobody can deny it. The first missionaries, a lot of great things God wanted to do from Nigeria started with Jesus. It's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. That's why the enemies is steering all of these people to fight God's prophetic agenda for Jesus. King Herod said, kill every male child. There's something we're looking for. Kill every male child. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Kill, I don't care. Kill every male child. Pharaoh said, kill every male child. There's something we want to alter. Then you think Satan cannot inspire somebody to disturb you, to persecute you because of the word in you. Some of you are facing a lot of trials right now because of the word in you. Even from human beings you are seeing. Because of the word in you. If you see it the right way, you overcome very fast. So the Bible says, count it all joy. Are you here tonight? Tell somebody, count it all joy. Count it all joy. When you face diverse situations, count it all joy. You lost money, count it all joy. You lost this, count it all joy. Get excited. Don't feel defeated. Are you listening to me? Never feel defeated. Feel strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power. Don't just feel strong. You are strong. So if you feel it, you are in the right place. Feel strong. You are going through the toughest moments of your life. Get excited. Because it's the shortest path to glory. The shortest path. So why are these things happening to you like this? Why is everything seeming? Why everything upon you? Because it's my time. It's my time to shine. They don't understand that. That's a prophetic statement. The shortest path is the path to glory. But look at the revelations you have. Why are these things happening? I'm about to punch her into glory. I'm about to. Glory to God. Glory to God. You are now a leader under very stubborn people. Why? God wants to take you to higher pedestals of leaders. To a point that not only Christians are coming, you'll be leading and demons are seated, witches and wizards are seated. You are able to still lead effectively. This one is just stubborn members. You come to a point where wizard will sit in a meeting and look at you and change to lions, change to serpents.
But they know you saw them. And instead of fear, being scared like everybody that has been scared before you came, you are smiling in a meeting. You are smiling at a snake. Some people think I'm just saying one mumu story that has never existed. Do you know I've looked at somebody in this church that face changed before? I told you the story, isn't it? And I did not say, hey, everybody talk to us already. Ushers, bring her here, bring her here. I still continue teaching. I've been teaching one day and somebody looked at me and said, and while I just turned my face, I just spoke against it. I said, some of you are behaving like wizards and witches in this church. You know, one time I was teaching, I don't know if they sensed it. I said, some of you, you come to this church under the influence of demons just to disturb us. Some people be like, what kind of a prophet is that? You don't know what we are saying. And we did not shout. Be grateful that now God is using stubborn members to train you as a leader. Stubborn members. A time will come, serpents will sit in a meeting. You sit in a board meeting, somebody whose head will turn change to cat. And you know, stand up and say, hey, whoa! Hey, whoa! Hey, whoa! Hey, whoa! Say, chairman, chairman don't matter. Make we give another chairman. Shamo, don't run. Give another chairman. They chain to serpents. Then you are smiling. Just as yours bow your head, I am seated together with Christ. No such thing happens here. Then you ask a serpent to talk. Mr. Johnson, it's your time to talk. And he's shocked. And you're smiling and look at him. He's wondering, who is thou? Who is thou? Who is thou? Who is thou? They didn't know. But you didn't just arrive here. You had been in the cage. It's a good place to say the caves of Adullam. You had been there. God has been working on you with that small department. You have seen Shege. You have seen people who are a literal snake walking. Talk less of a spiritual snake. You can't be moved by anything. David said, King, I have fought bears and lions and I have killed them by my hand. King was like, he said, I have dealt with them. He said, O ye uncircumcised, let me show you how I used to win them. O ye uncircumcised Philistine, that stand before the army of the Lord. That's what the Bible said. Those who through their senses, who through use have what? Have exercised their senses to the point they can tell wrongs. Learn to use the word. You feel pain, lay your hands there. This is how you start winning. You want to become a revivalist, lay your hands on the pain. Don't say it's normal. It's not normal. You wake up in the morning, you feel certain pains. You lay your hands there. In the name of Jesus, pain. Leave now. Leave now. Leave now. Even if you feel it, go. You have already told it to leave. It's leaving. This is how you walk in faith. Such that whatever you have been doing in your life, you can extend to another person's life. Somebody will just tell you, I'm having pain in my right chest, the right back. You say, come in the name of Jesus, go. He's shocked. There are some Christians that cannot pray for anybody that is sick. They have not tried it for themselves. They have not been practicing. And it's dangerous. The day cancer will come for you, how will you do? Learn to use the word of God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Learn to use it. The day cancer will come to your junior brother, what will you do? It's not that time you start building up prayer life. Start testing the word of God. Start using it now. Use it now. Use it to call forth money. Use it to arrange your life. You don't understand what I'm trying to say. Use it to call forth money. What if you come to a point in your life when there is crisis and you want God to bring an 11th hour miracle? If you have not been calling for 20,000, you will not be able to call 20 billion. Nobody should deceive you that we are doing rubbish. Call it. You are broke. Your salary has finished. It's not time to cry. Arrange yourself. Call for money. Call for money. Call it. Money coming to me now. Now! In the name of Jesus. Money coming. They will think you are mad. Money coming. Now. cometh now. Repo sukapaya. Money cometh. Money cometh. Money cometh to me now. In the name above all names. What are your persuasions? The reasons for your persuasion is the word of God. He that was very rich became very poor. So that through his what? Poverty. You are made what? Very well. It is said to us, I can never be poor in my life. My poverty has been paid for in the name of Jesus, and he has given me the ability to create wealth. Money cometh, ideas flow in the name of Jesus. And when you are done, you have impetus to implement the ideas. I'm not waiting for any advice. Impetus, that's how you use the word. You know, hear somebody say, the first time the idea came, when it came, I just said, let me try what God has said. Don't say, let me try what my heart has said. You prayed in tongues. While you were praying, you were trusting God for an idea. You think God is a wicked father? He's your father. Somebody say, God, my father. This is how the prayer started. God, give me an idea for my business. It's going down. Now, your heart is scanning. Your spirit is hovering upon the face of the situation. And it's not wrong. It's like that in Genesis. The spirit of God was hovering upon the face of the deep. And your spirit is hovering. You are looking at every wrong thing that's happening in the business. And the Lord just brings life. Pow! It's not a coincidence that at that time a revelation came. A scripture came. Don't think it's a coincidence. When you are done, go and implement immediately. This is how you build yourself. As you obey, just like as I said, that if you disobey, your heart gets strong. As you obey, you enter into the glory better. You build up. How do I explain this? You become sharper in the spirit when you obey. You pick God's voice easily when you obey. As you do it, you understand this. If you did not obey the first one, you would have not known it was his voice. Now, when you obey it and it works, you are sure, it was God that spoke to me. The next time, the way he spoke to you, he's now speaking. You obey. Are you seeing that you are becoming a prophetic mafia? Before you know, he says another thing, you obey. One time, you are talking to your friend, he says something. He says, I'm seeing that in your family, somebody is sick now. She's like a cousin to people. Her name is Deborah. How did you build this thing? Track record of obedience. Now you know his voice. The sharpest prophet in town. You are working, about to start a business. The Lord told you, add this to it. No, don't do that one. Why will you listen? You have been obeying him. Now you understand why we started that song. And I think I'm understanding the song too. Why we started that song, Trust and Obey. Are you people getting me tonight? Are you here tonight? Don't talk dull. Talk like a powerful Christian. Don't talk defeated. Say, I can never be defeated. What did you lose? You think 2 million is money because you are broke. The real you is worth more than $2 billion. You've just 2 billion. It has gone. Be strong. What meaning will it make when you are talking to a generation of people that have lost a lot of money and you not lose any money? You would never even get to that place to talk to them. If you are somebody who have lost 2 million and came to a point that you now own 2 billion, you know how to talk to people who have lost money in business. You know, when you talk, their hope is rising. You are setting their heart on fire. You are the kind of person God wants to talk to people who have just lost their business. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You are the type of, that's why people like Mario Woodward Etta can just enter a congregation, say 2 sentences, and people will start crying because of the kind of experiences she has gone through. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They call you to go and talk to a church. I'm telling you, the list of you here, if you really catch what I'm teaching you, you will enter a congregation, carry the microphone and talk to people on leadership. Everybody will be shocked, including the pastor. Which girl is this one? You know, you have gone through the fire. You have accepted your faith. Lord, I'm ready to go through the fire. Take me to the fire. Some people say, God, I beg, I'm not joining them. The good news is that everybody must go through the fire. There is nobody that will be excluded. You see this fire? Everybody must go through this fire. Everybody. So the earlier you accept it, the better for you. As I'm talking to you now, change your mindset. Because the road to the promised land is not far. The only thing that you have to face is war. Do I have witnesses here that are ready for war? Some are not raising their hand. You are ready for the fire. Can I see your hands up? Say, Lord, I'm ready for the fire. take me through the fire, Holy Ghost. That's why he promised us. He said, when you walk through the fire, I am there with you. He did not say you will not walk. He said, if you walk through the fire, I am there with you. That's what the three Hebrew boys caught. They wanted to throw them in the fire. They said, ah, if we perish, we perish now. We choose to believe God, but if God fails us, let him fail us. How can God fail you when your last hope is God and your only hope is God? They got into the fire. They were not touched with any fire. That's the God I'm talking about. The God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The God of Daniel, that he entered into the lion. I mean, this is the kind of people that will get into politics. Men like Daniel. See, I'm telling you, the church must begin to touch such things in the realm of the spirit. Men that will go through things and nothing will touch them. We're not talking about a spiritual lion here. We mean a physical lion. Daniel was friends with politicians, top government officials, and they plotted him, and nothing still happened to Daniel. When he came out from the fire, when he came out from the lions, that he became 10 times stronger. A man in the depth of politics still praying. He was facing Jerusalem every time to pray.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.